services, Lavazzi at boom1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 243. I'm Adam, barely sentient local. Here's Debbie Melrose.
Sorry, I stopped listening a while ago.
Mary Lang.
His readings are ishy.
And still hiding within his bathroom because he's so scared of this episode, Kirby, Bartlett, Sloan.
Oh, that can't be good. I can't believe you guys took every single quote that I was going to use. I mean, bang, you took the first one I was going to take, and then bang, you took the second one.
Yes, it's always handy because I only have to find one.
Because we're looking at your notes through our little Skype cameras.
Yeah. So this week we're going to be looking at what episode, Debbie? Because I always forget the title.
Flatline.
Flatline. It used to be a program. That's a film called Flatliners. Oh, I said that last week.
Yes, you did. Yes.
Right, so. Oh, I've gone on YouTube. Why have I gone on YouTube, Debbie?
Because you weren't looking at what you were doing. iPlayer's down there. Oh, we've lost it now.
I did BBC cock up, didn't I?
BBC cock up. There, down there. Down one.
There. Shut up, Star. Right.
Sorry.
She wants to go out there because... There's a woman in the other room she wants to say hello to.
Aww.
So she's grizzling.
Poor thing.
Okay,
right.
Flat line begins. Hang on, better turn the audio down on this one because it's going to start.
With the Daleks going round and round the BBC One sign shooting each other. Yeah, if you look closely, they're shooting each other.
Some bearded bloke really does need to have a shave, phoning the police and asking for help because... What is he asking for help for?
He knows who did it.
He knows who did it.
Who did it all.
He figured it out.
Yeah, he figured it out.
Yeah, that's interesting. And then he becomes a sort of a splat on the wall, doesn't he?
No, he becomes one of those lovely borders you can get for your walls.
Yeah, there's a sort of an elongated splat. But it was very clever.
Description, yes.
Very, very, very
I thought it was really well clever. Done throughout the episode when they were using
very,
the pictures.
Very imaginative, the way they did that particular
really cool.
So, the Doctor... is trying to get Clara home. For once, the TARDIS doesn't quite work.
Yes.
And I love the way he constantly uses a thing, doesn't it?
It's a thing!
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the 11th Doctor also used that term towards the end of
his
thing.
Yes, he did, yes. Everything was a good thing. Yeah. I'm doing to do a thing. What sort of a thing? I don't know, but it's on. You know, something like that. That was in the Weeping Angels one, when Amy had one in her eye, I think.
Yeah. So the door suddenly becomes really small, which is really cool. And the
I
reaction
like that,
as they try. Yes, toilet person.
How? Not that bad.
Oh, I've got my speaker on. Yes, go on.
I'm wondering how many people are going to start building 4 foot tall TARDIS.
I think they should sell them.
Yeah,
I want one. I'd go and sit in my happy
place. Alistair Pearson built one about a foot and a half tall.
So I just want one that size so I can go and curl up on a beanbag and watch Doctor Who on my
iPad. Probably, you open it up and there's loads of DVDs and videos
as well.
Well, I wondered why they kept squeezing in and out of one door. Why didn't they open the other door?
They could open both doors. I don't know.
They did eventually.
It was just for dramatic emphasis, probably, or not to show so much of the interior once Clara gets out or something.
The dramatic emphasis.
Yeah, they did eventually open both doors later on in the episode. Yeah, so the Doctor obviously realises there's something creepy going on and sends Clara to go and find out what's going on while he tries to work out why the TARDIS is... not quite
because
well,
he likes
should
the
be.
Fact that he's actually trying to get her to see that he's actually enjoying that he doesn't know what's going on.
And also, he's read in the contract Dr. Light episode.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, wasn't that Dr. Light? Yeah, he was in it a lot.
Well, I think it was Dr. Light simply because most of his scenes were within the TARDIS studio, weren't they? Mm. So there wasn't a lot for him to do other than just do a few solo scenes within there.
And get a haircut at one point.
Yeah.
Good point.
This grumpy guy who heads
the community
service guy. You did wonder at the beginning, is he going to redeem himself from being a nasty git? But he isn't. He's just like in the... What's the one with the Titanic? The Christmas... one with Kylie.
Yeah, I know we're human.
That guy that survives, who's mean git, who transfers all his shares. Yeah. And it just felt like that this episode a bit. You know, like there's always a grumpy git.
The funny thing was,
always still a grumpy git.
This character is called Riggsy, based on Banksy. Yeah. And Banksy, there was a report somewhere that Banksy got arrested and his identity.
It's probably
fake, but there was a report.
It is fake.
What did I just say?
I reckon Banksy's more than one.
Yeah.
Who's Banksy?
He's an artist.
A graffiti artist. His work's going for lots and lots of money.
He does things
amazing. You can get lots of prints.
Yeah, but he does more than graffiti, though, doesn't he?
He's done an installation as well at a gallery.
The old guy who's in charge of who's supervising them, Christopher Fairbanks.
Yes.
He played the broker in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, and he was in Alfie the Same Pet as well.
Well, he's been in everything. He's
in everything sci-fi. Yes.
he always looks a bit weird when he doesn't have his Scouse accent, because he is pretty Scouse. So I love that. I do love the actual the sort of disused railway station backdrop, I should say. And of course, when Clara says finds
a
mini
TARDIS. That is so adorable. Are you in there? No, it's not adorable. It's very, very serious.
Yeah, so that's really cool. And also, I love the way clever way they did the lighting for when the Doctor's head is sort of peering up at Clara from within the tiny TARDIS. Really, really good. It does look lovely, doesn't it? I don't know. A lot of people might complain of the fact that the TARDIS becomes just a plain cube that...
It looked like the Pandorica. Tom thought it looked like the Tesseract from Thor, and I was like, no, it's the Pandorica. You could tell he's a Marvel guy. And
you would think that if it reverted to a little cube when the power went to nothing, shut up, I'm talking.
It was Siege Mode.
The Planet of the Daleks, is it? What's the one with the Daleks and there's no power on the planet, and the Daleks have to shoot with conventional guns. I think it's Planet of the Daleks.
I thought it was Planet of the Daleks. I don't know. We'll have to have a look.
I don't know.
But anyway, that one, the TARDIS doesn't revert to a little cube. And also, you would think that if it has done that, then the comedian circuit would be sort of like rebooted or something. In fact, the comedian circuit should be rebooted anyway, because the TARDIS was completely regenerated when the 11th Doctor. I'm saying. You thought occasionally it might be useful for him to actually use the comedian circuit if it is fixed. Back to this story, and you wanted to say something.
You would think that he would use things like hacking into optic nerves and stuff.
And invisibility watches as well.
Invisibility watches, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder what happened to
the MI5 thing. That was
I tell you that the costume he's got obviously is the costume that we all sort of expected him to be wearing.
The original one, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's any major significance. It's quite clear
that
Jenna
Coleman... when they filmed his part of it. You know, they may have done this early on in the series.
Obviously, they filmed it in two sections because
of
a different haircut.
Yeah.
I think it's clear that Jenna Coleman loves using the sonic screwdriver.
She
looks like she's in her element, and that she's actually quite cheerful in this episode.
I haven't had a chance to check this, but someone pointed out somewhere that Clara, during this series, actually uses the sonic where the end opens up, and the Doctor, ever since he's regenerated, has never done that. I haven't had a chance to confirm that, though.
I don't think he's done
she's
it. I haven't seen
objecting.
It.
I think you might have to let her out, but she's going to stomp her feet in a minute.
Are you going to stomp your feet, little dog? Are you going to get close?
Look at both of us. Well, which one of you is going to let me out? I've been asking politely for the last 20 minutes.
All right, darling. There you go.
Fingers, handle, pull.
There you go. Go on,
she'll
then,
be back out in a minute.
She's not going out.
Right, so, I love the way also that Riggsy is sort of getting a bit freaked out by it, or tries to slope away, and the Doctor sort of says, you're scaring him.
Yeah, you keep him.
Don't scare him off, yeah.
And then she sort of...
You know the mural on the wall?
What, the, I knew that was skin.
Yeah, I knew. Yeah, you knew that was skin as well, yeah, because I looked at it and like, that's skin.
I did.
You didn't?
I missed it. I missed it until the second time through and missed the reference to being in a desert and how they how they were interpreting it as a desert until the second time I watched it.
Hmm.
No, it was just, just as soon as it came up, I was like, ugh. Because after them putting the guy on the wall, it was like, well,
And the nervous system thing just looked like a... The nervous system thing looked like it belonged to that room because it was so 60s, and everything else in that room was 60s.
Yeah. Yes, it was. Yeah, it did. It looked like a mural.
I just referring to the fact that Riggsy, keep on calling him Banksy. Riggsy's eyeing up Clara.
The whole time he's eyeing her up. They swap sides. Yeah.
There's a continuity
error.
12 minutes and 18, and then they cut to with the police.
Riggsy's on the left.
He's eyeing up Clara, and suddenly they cut back to them, and they've swapped places.
To the TARDIS, and then it goes back, and now they're on the other side. How could they miss that?
What are you talking about? Where?
Right, go to 12 minutes and 5. Right? Hang on,
12 minutes 18.
Yeah, 12 minutes 15. Yeah. And they walk in the room with the police girl, woman, whatever.
Doing the MI5 flash thing. Yeah,
and he eyes up Clara, and then they cut to the doctor within the TARDIS console room, where he's standing on the left, and then suddenly standing on the right side of Clara. He sort of jumped really quickly. I know he said that he could have walked around the back of it.
He could have, but they didn't show that. They just cut away.
I'm watching. Oh!
Yeah, see?
Oh, my.
Yeah. How did they miss that one? Someone obviously went to lunch.
And then, of course, I love the way the Doctor hands Clara the sledgehammer from with the...
Sledgehammer.
That's really cool.
The police officer takes it in her stride, though. She just turns around and sees Clara holding a sledgehammer.
Yes, Kirby.
When you were talking about Banksy, did you happen to mention that Banksy is based out of Bristol?
No, but that's what I'm saying. This is why this character is sort of based on.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's why they based it in Bristol.
Oh, well, there you go.
I love the way the wall melts down.
Chris, I was wondering all the time. You know, how is it that this kid gets to just wander away from his community service group? That otherwise, you know, they're being so closely monitored that all of a sudden they just kind of let him go wherever he wants to go.
It was lunch hour. Yeah, he had to sign.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're a juvenile offender. They're keeping a close.
They still get a lunch.
They get a lunch.
But they're probably still under the watchful eye of the supervisor.
Mm, not necessarily.
No, it depends on the supervisor.
He doesn't care. They're scum. Mm.
Yeah. And when the policewoman dies, that's a cracking sort of bit of special effects, isn't it? Really, really well done. That poor woman. Anyway,
now,
this
estate is the Abbott estate.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
It's named after the author of Flatland in the late 19th century.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. The Doctor...
Flatland was a novel about both geometry, two dimensions, and class distinctions.
Right, thank you. You know, I say the Doctor tapped into Clara's optic nerve, which is obviously nicked with the idea from Torchwood when... what's her name? Who's the woman in Torchwood?
Can't remember. Gwen.
Sort of contact lens with the camera. So that's a similar thing, probably a handier idea if the Doctor had just given the contact lens.
I love that bit. When they walked into the wall and you saw the mural behind them, and I just went, ugh, and Tom went, what? And I was like, wait a minute. And then when they revealed it was a nervous system.
Yeah. Dissection. Yeah. Yes. And when the...
I'm fairly convinced that you can buy that as a mural.
You must be able to. I mean, they're probably missing a trick if they don't release one. I want one.
Right, you know, something just occurred to me. What? This is obviously filmed in 2D. So how to generate a 3D feeling in the 2D... thing, obviously, that shows up on that shot where they have the flat door handle. They look 3D from one angle. You only know it's 2D because they've moved the camera around sideways.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I like the fact that he can rewind what he's watched through her eyes as well.
That's clever. When the sofa and the cushions all become 2D.
Well, not even nicely. They're just
splat.
Yeah, splattered into the wall. Yeah. This isn't delicate. You know, this is. I'm going to get you.
Yeah, that's really cool.
But I do like the use of the 60s swinging chair.
Yeah. Oh, now she wants to come back. Okay,
Take a look at the wallpaper and stuff. It's all hideous.
Yeah, no, it's horrible.
We had wallpaper like that in the 1970s.
Yeah, it's the 60s.
Yeah.
And then an untimely phone call from Danny.
Who knows what's going on? He's not stupid.
Dog.
You know, she didn't have to answer.
No, she didn't. She
I know, I wondered why she felt...
Well, she didn't later on, did she? She just put in a meeting. Why didn't she just do that? No, I don't know.
Sounds kind of active.
Yeah, just again, so as the bloke who plays Danny could get paid for another episode for doing virtually nothing. So the Doctor susses out that the creatures that they're up against are 2D creatures from a 2D universe, which I think is very original and very clever. What do you think, Debbie? No, okay, fair enough.
Sorry, talking to Scott. No, I thought it was brilliantly done. I like the idea that you can't go and explore that sort of thing unless you go on a heck of a diet. It's a great idea. I think it's brilliant. Just maybe it does leave scope to eventually maybe explore actually going to a 2D.
Well, yeah, we're in the 2D universe if you actually
watch Doctor Who. Well, I know, but, you know, just the fact that it's opening up different levels of...
Who wrote this, by the way?
I can't remember.
For God's sake. Point deducted.
Jamie Matheson.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You did the last really, really good episode.
Yeah, I know.
That's great.
Is he going to take over?
Yeah. So what's he better known for doing than Jamie Matheson? She's looking at him.
Being human.
Yeah, I know he's human. Yeah, but what's he better
being
at?
Being human, Dirk Gently.
Cool.
He's written episodes for Being Human and Dirk Gently.
Yeah. Anyway, the paintings within the sort of underpass... turn round, and that's really...
Oh, you mean the hi, we're all up against the wall peeing on it mural.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's really cool. And then they cut that looks like paint sort of following them on the floor.
Oh, it's creepy. This is a good creepy episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. It's them basically arguing with who's in charge sort of thing, really, isn't it? And,
you've got to be in charge or someone else will.
Yeah. Yes.
She makes herself in charge.
Yeah.
Which is great.
And then the Doctor manages to sort of communicate with them a little bit, doesn't he? And it goes over the tannoy and they say a number.
There you go, using the British terms with tannoy, the public address system.
Yeah, tannoy.
It's a tannoy. Well, British terms, what it is.
Oh, wait, you climbed up there and you actually read the nameplate on it, so you know it.
Yep, sounds tannoy. No, so I'm just moving along a bit here, because the next bit I remember is the train bit.
Seems I woke
you missed a lot then.
Did I?
The bit with the hand.
Oh, well, we had that bit, yeah.
Not yet.
Yeah, not yet, because he's there. Yeah. Debbie particularly liked the bit where you see the shadow of the hand and then it appears and grabs.
Fingers coming down through the tunnel.
When they worked out how to, what's it called? Yeah, how to do 3D.
The next level, 3D!
Before they'd done that, the bloke, he looks like he's just standing there, as you can see from this scene here. And they move the camera around and realise he's just sort of...
He's against a barrel or something.
Yeah, and he's sort of two-dimensional.
Yes.
And it's really, really
so
cleverly
cool.
done.
Yeah.
But it reminded me of... there was... In The Caretaker, there was something within that room that was like that. And they moved around and it was two-dimensional. There was something in there that just reminded me of that. Anyway,
I don't remember.
No, you won't, because it's just something in my mind. Right, so what happened after that then, Deb? Because I'm just flicking through. Found one of Riggsy's paintings.
Yeah, she thinks it's brilliant.
But she didn't say it, she just said it's brilliant and moved on as if it sort of not really paying much attention.
And
the two-disc.
The two-disc.
Trying to explain how great it is. She's like, is it going to work?
And it did. Yeah, because it can reverse the turning things from 2D to 3D.
I like the doctor throughout.
You missed the bit when it came down.
Oh, Debbie wants to see the bit where it came down. That's what she said.
There we go. The hand.
Yeah, the shadow of the hand coming up behind.
That was so effective. That was an actual make me jump moment.
It was really, really cool.
Well, one of my favourite films when I was little was the Cecil B. DeMille's Ten Commandments.
Yeah,
and there's a bit when the Angel of Death comes along and it's basically smoke but with fingers, and that terrified me. And that's exactly what that spoke to.
Mm.
So I was like, oh God. This is not happening. I'm too scared.
Yeah, that's right. So Clara, actually, I mean, I'm jumping forward a little bit here, because there is a bit on the train where Riggsy's going to commit suicide, isn't he, basically?
Yeah.
He's going to crash the train, and Clara knows there's a better way.
But first things first, the doctor's got to get off the train tracks.
Yeah, so he does the Addams Family hand walk, which again is from Clara's ideas.
Creepy and the cookie.
Yeah, cool. I'm sure Ian... I'm sure Ian's going to use that music. Okay. Yes. Okay.
When we were watching, Fred thought about the Addams Family thing before anyone said it.
Did she?
Yes.
That's good then. Anyway, and Kirby got all excited about the number on the train, didn't you, Kirby?
Yeah.
Well, both numbers.
Yeah, both of them.
Two different trains.
Yes, go on then.
Because, one of them, the first train is A113, which is an Easter egg put in by animators who attended Cal Arts, California Institute of Arts or something like that. It was a school founded by Walt Disney, by the way. All the Pixar animators went there, or at least most of them, and there's A113s. The easiest places to find A113s are in Pixar films, but they're all over the place in other bits of animation.
Yeah,
and even though I don't know who did this animation, they probably went to the Kellogg.
Yeah, there's another thing I heard about this animation that you weren't particularly impressed with it.
No, it's awful.
Okay, so the Doctor walks the TARDIS with his hand off the out of danger,
scuttling
to
it, which up is quite like fun. A hermit crab.
Yeah. Like his little victory dance.
Star wants to sit on that.
Cuddle.
Okay, all right. Okay. Hello, darling. Hello. All right.
Star's just better? Jumped on Debbie's lap.
There we go. Is that better?
Right. The Doctor uses up the last remnants of power to ultimately escape from this, doesn't he? Does he dematerialise or something? Because he pulls a handle.
No, he puts it into siege mode. He uses the last of the energy to put it into siege mode.
And hordes of Genghis Khan can't get through that door, so what is he worried about getting hit by a train?
Exactly.
Yeah, good point.
Powered down, though, and there's no power, it's not got its shields up, it's not got its, hull integrity is not going to be
I think it should have become the cylinder that we saw.
Ah, I've come up with another thing.
Oh,
carry
dear.
On.
Yeah,
something's
carry
just
on.
Dawned on me.
It should have looked like the cylinder of a non- chameleon circus.
Yeah, I'm not bothered about what it looked like. I thought that really cool. What bothered me a little bit, at the beginning of the story, they made a point of saying that the TARDIS, if the TARDIS landed with its true weight, it would crack the earth.
How
is it with no power, not being able to be its true weight?
Well, how true, if that's a result of
maybe Moffat
power in the TARDIS to make that weight difference, yeah.
So that's...
I think that would have broken the train.
Yeah. Bother me.
Beg your pardon?
It does not bother me.
It doesn't bother me.
Did it occur to anybody that with the two of them, Clara and Rigsby, on the train for as long as that conversation took?
They should have hit
the long
time.
Don't say anything.
Yeah, they should have been well
out
of that tunnel.
Don't get names wrong, Mary.
City,
on a podcast
rather than
with
just
Kirby.
Moving a few feet down the tunnel.
Yes, I was surprised that they didn't just jump off. They kept talking. It was
It's like, where are you guys headed anyway?
She saves the day with her hairband.
She liked that hairband.
Yeah. And then finds... I love the way when she finds the cube, she says she thinks it's the TARDIS. It's quite clever for her. Mind you, it does seem to have Time Lord...
It looks like it's got Gallifreyan written all over it, and it looks like the Pandorica. So it's like,
some kid dropped the Pandorica toy down here.
Well, she doesn't know what the Pandorica looks like, though, does she?
Right.
Even though she should.
She's been through the Doctor's timelines. Mm. She should know it all.
But, I don't know. Maybe there's little holes in her memory and that score. So
I think Clara is actually quite smart when this bit happens.
And then he has a haircut.
Yes, then he's had a haircut, yeah.
Well, so these are added scenes, I reckon, those bits with a haircut. What do you reckon, Star? Yeah.
Go on then, sorry. You adoringly, that's all you're getting now.
Now, I had trouble figuring out that he drew a door.
Yeah, just to make that all clear. Yeah.
It took the second viewing before I could really notice that whole bit. I mean,
yeah, okay. When you see the paper curl something. Down, yeah. And you see that it's a poster, yeah.
Yeah. Then Clara sort of finds out a way of recharging the TARDIS. I thought the TARDIS only really got sort of energy from rifts in space and time.
Well, she remembered his first rule, which is just use their power against them. Yeah, and it drained the power from the TARDIS anyway. So
how many rule ones are there?
It's about 20.
Fair enough. I'll accept that one. As they drain TARDIS power.
They drain TARDIS power that she's going to get them to put it back in. That's fair enough.
I accept that.
Timey wimey wibbly wobbly stuff.
That's good.
Isn't it?
No, I can accept that. That's good. The Doctor's had a haircut though, Kirby.
Yeah.
When
because he's going to be the Cardinal again, isn't he, in Three Musketeers? That's his cardinal haircut.
They probably called him quick to do these extra scenes from the other set.
I'm glad that he's able to do both. I do love
the TARDIS
when,
goes off.
Yeah, when it gets recharged and it sort of changes back into the police box and flies away and then comes back full size.
Yeah, I love that.
And the Doctor comes out and the shields are great. But I just love the speech he comes out with. Which is sort of so modern day doctor, isn't it?
I've tried all to the talk doctors to you. I've tried to do it. I'm not going to apologise. I'm just going to treat you as the monsters you are. Yeah. Yeah, there's none of this. I'm so sorry. You're
plain.
No, but they all do. I mean, since Eccleston, all the new doctors have done these sort of speeches, and they're fantastic, aren't they, Kirby? Yes.
Affirmative.
I love these. I called them gravel zombies. The paintings, the 3D paintings, because they just they moved so amazingly, zombie like, and it was just playing. This whole episode is basically playing on.
I haven't seen the extra
fears.
On this one actually.
I heard them called the boneless before I saw the episode. So.
Yeah, that's because you.
This plane
naughty.
Is protected.
Yeah, why does he say this plane?
His planet. He says planet. Yeah.
No.
No, he says plane.
No, I thought he meant planet. And this.
No, he says plane.
No, it's as in the.
I thought I wrote down that he'd say place.
They are two-dimensional creatures. They live.
That's very clever writing.
As I was writing it out,
then,
I wrote
but
this.
But then they
place.
Came back in 3D. So. Yeah.
But they understand 2D.
They don't necessarily know that.
They understand 2D better. So that's why he said the word play. That's very clever. Mm. Yeah. This bloke's quite a good writer.
I reckon he's brilliant. Yeah. He wrote last week's.
Mm. I know, I'm saying. And just all round. I know his hair's gone back to. It's grown back again, so maybe that's
not being cardinal,
wibbly wobbly
timey one.
Like I say, about him being the cardinal. Filmed those bits quite recently. That's essentially it. And apart from another phone call, attempted phone call from Danny, and the Doctor's
and the whole business about
lying.
Acknowledging her and the lying.
Yeah,
I don't understand why she doesn't understand that goodness doesn't come into it. He's driven to do this. Mm. This is his life. He's not doing it out of the goodness of his heart. Because he's driven to do it.
She's had a go at him for lying and stuff, hasn't he? And he's trying to show her what it's like to be the Doctor.
Yeah.
In this episode, I think that's basically what it's
about. That PE.
Funny that we should see a picture of the Doctor as a special picture on the phone last time, but there's nothing for Danny.
Yeah, but Danny's got a phone number, and apparently everybody's been trying to phone it, and it just goes to his voicemail.
Oh, right.
Yeah, though, if you phone the phone number, if you close up on it, then
you have to guess that some sad people would do that. And then suddenly we have Missy.
Missy's very possessive of Clara, isn't she?
Yes, I wonder what that's all about then. Oh, Kirby already knows, so don't bother answering that question.
No, I don't already know.
I'm glad she's made a reappearance, because I was starting to worry a little bit.
Yeah, I'm just surprised
at the end of the series.
The people that are dead from this story haven't appeared in it, though, wasn't it? So that's essentially what I'm talking about the next time.
If you call that phone number... Do you hear the actors?
I don't know. That's not what I've. I haven't done it personally.
Yeah, well,
but
she's not that desperate. No, we're not going to.
No,
do
I haven't
that
done that yet. No, I will do it though. But all the forums and the other pages and things are saying that it goes to voicemail and you can leave a message. So it's like, all right then.
Well, technically, I could. I'd only have to hook my phone up to the computer.
You could do it live.
I can't because I haven't got the cable. I could do it. Hang on, I could do it this way. What's the number then?
I don't know.
Thanks, Deb.
Right. Well, now in the States, whenever they put a phone number on the TV screen, it always starts with 555, which is a non-existent exchange. So you can always tell a fake phone number on a TV show because they always start with 555.
Ah. Oop, why not doing
there'll be a close-up picture on Facebook, I'm sure.
Will there?
Yeah. I'll find it and I'll do it.
I haven't got time to do that.
Tell us what you thought about Flatline then.
Yes, no, I'm going to start with you, Debbie, while I look it up. Yeah. Debbie, what do you think of Flatline then?
I enjoyed it. I think I've rumbled on about it throughout the episode, you know, just how much I found it creepy. It was another
and
really
kooky.
Good
it's creepy and
kooky.
Kooky,
yes. the TARDIS family. It was basically it's another classic Who episode, I thought, because yes, the Doctor's in the TARDIS, but he is all the way through, he's part of it. He's always handing things to Clara. They're talking continuously throughout it. So, yes, it seems to be, you know, very camera. It's, you know, camera-sized episode on Clara. But it is. It was nice that he was still very much part of it. I think if Moffat had handled this, then we probably wouldn't have seen much of the Doctor at all.
Mm.
But this, whatever his name is, the guy who wrote it, is just... really, really has got to Doctor Who, I think. And I just, all in all, this episode was brilliant. I really enjoyed it. There you go.
Excellent.
Creepy.
Yes. Something you said made me think of something and I forgot what I was talking about. And there's going to be a noisiness in a minute because I think Debbie's just about to dispatch one of her customers. In that time, I might be, oh, here we go, isn't his number? He said, Danny's got a number and I've just flicked past it. And 24.
Why don't we ask Kirby or Mary how they do it, how they felt about it whilst you look for this phone?
Yeah, Kirby or Mary. No, Kirby.
I loved it.
Okay, right then, Mary. Oh, sorry.
Well, yeah, that, I can't really say much more. I mean, I've now watched it my standard four times. It's one of the. This in series is just so good. One of my favorite series of Doctor Who ever. There have been only basically one and a half that disappointed me. I despise Into the Dalek. And I'm one of the people that loves Kill the Moon. So. Oh, and I don't really like Time Heist either. Between Into the Dalek and Time Heist, they're just both.
Well, did you like Robots of Sherwood?
Oh, absolutely. Robot. Oh,
okay.
Robot of Sherwood, I love.
So basically, weren't
you there?
That might be the one she didn't turn up for. But I just want to say, obviously, when we do get round to comparing, you know, all the other episodes and from each series to see if this is indeed the best series so far, that's going to be fun. So I'm looking forward to that in a few weeks' time. Have you done the Kirby? No. Okay. Fine. Mary.
He's distracting himself trying to write phone Danny's number.
I'm not going to call.
Tom? My husband, I meant. The other.
What's that say? Is that a five or a three?
That's a five.
Is it?
I wouldn't call it.
1-4-5-3-2-4.
Carry on.
Mary, what did you think?
This is slick.
My feelings about this episode are very mixed, more negative than positive.
No!
I had a really hard time even watching it a second time because I found the humor in it. It was played so broadly that I felt like it was being played for a six-year-old. So I think there must be a lot of six-year-olds out there guffawing because it was played, you know, for the really young crowd. I liked the scary moments. I mean, the idea of it was really intriguing, but I felt like it wasn't played out very well. I think a lot of the CGI was really bad. As Kirby pointed out, that train looked real dodgy, and I didn't like the images of the 3D creatures, the boneless ones. Because it just looked like dodgy CGI. I would have felt more threatened had they been more real. Because they looked like they couldn't damage anything, you know, the way they were. I felt like...
But we saw that they would just suck you in.
Yeah, that's it.
They saw that, so...
Yeah, I mean, their power was frightening, which was the interesting part. But the actuality of them in 3D, I found to be more comical than scary. And that whole thing of them swinging out the window in that chair there, you know, that was for me an example of the broadly played comedy that, that I didn't appreciate. And that whole scene of Clara and Rigsby in the train, you know, going, I mean, that conversation took forever. And I thought they'd be halfway to London by now.
It should have been out the tunnel, out the other end, out of danger, off they go. Yeah.
And I really object. You know, here I am again saying, I'm really tired of the Clara Oswald show.
Yeah, but the last 3 weeks you've been all right, Mary. It's just sort of this week you're back to your normal. I mean,
I'm back to my rant about, you know, Clara doesn't need the doctor anymore. She can do everything by herself.
No, but the doctor was trying to make the point. Hello, Ben.
I object strongly.
The doctor was kind of egging her on, but I mean, she was acting like she didn't need any help, and she was doing it all. So I say give her a spin-off show and let her go.
Yeah, so she's the new Sarah Jane. Off you go. There you are.
Yeah, she's like a Sarah Jane. Yeah.
That's a very good idea. Give Clara her own show.
Yeah, but the name of this show is Doctor Who, so I want to see more of the Doctor. So, yeah.
Doctor Who. You
know, I'm really on the fence. Really on the fence. I wouldn't want to watch it again.
Okay. Well, hello, Ben.
This is one I'm going to watch. Hello,
Adam.
Many,
hello,
many
Kirby.
Times.
Hello, Mary. Hello, Debbie.
Hello.
Hello, listeners.
Why are you suddenly Debbie on Skype, by the way?
Because you were always fighting with Debbies.
Oh, right.
I don't remember last week.
Fine.
Yeah, I changed my name last week and completely forgot about it. That's one of those jokes that I've even forgotten about how funny I was. Oh, ha, ha, ha.
Sorry, actually,
well, hello, everyone. Hello. I've got to say, before we get going, I'm only here for 10 minutes. Oh. Not here for a long time, but here for a
good
time.
Because you've come in into the part of the show where we're actually talking about what we thought of the last episode, which was called Flatline, by the way. So remember
that. Flatline.
What do you think of it, Ben?
It was all right.
There you go.
Okay. Analytical, critical review time.
Yes, please.
It was good to see that it was a brand new type of adventure, and we've never seen the TARDIS shrinking before or anything like that. That
was this.
Obviously nice and... original.
I see where you're
things coming through. I did kind of like the idea of you know, the doctor being stuck inside and Clara having to go and be the doctor. I thought that was quite good, actually. I thought that was a nice spin on it. But as Mary just said, it kind of like has now got to the point where Clara is so much the doctor almost that she doesn't actually need the doctor, apart from she did need the sonic screwdriver.
Yeah, well, she had it, didn't she?
Exactly. And so
and she was using it all the time.
And the sledgehammer.
Yeah, she needed really the sledgehammer. Was, wasn't she? It was like a kid with a brand new mobile phone.
Yeah.
He's like, I've got a mobile, I'm going to call everyone I know and then text everyone I know 15 times and I'll run out of credit straight away. It's lucky that the sonic screwdriver doesn't run on credit or it would have run out within 5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
The story was all right and the other actors were all right. And I'm not happy about Clara lying to Danny all the time.
No, not much of a future for that relationship, is there?
Good, good. That way, in my mind of me and Clara, then that works fine, doesn't it? Yes, I'm just trying to remember it. Were you just talking about how long that train journey
was?
And that very
classic film, we've got 10 seconds, but we're going to take 3 minutes to sort it out thing, yes.
Yeah, I did kind of think that as it was on. How long is that tunnel? Apparently, much, much, because the train wasn't going slowly, was it?
No, it was speeding.
Ramming speed, wasn't it?
And I do wonder exactly how that bloke managed to jump in the train and start driving it with no previous... Unless he'd obviously gone around nicking trains before.
Yeah,
possibly.
Yeah, there's a thought.
Because of the brother of someone who runs a national train company. Actually, it's not a national, it's a local train company. That's my brother. He runs Southwest Trains. By the way, if you do go on Southwest Trains in England and you do have a complaint, don't bother telling me about it.
get him to get me some discount, Ben.
get you some discount.
He probably can't get any himself.
If he gets me some discount, then I'll start moving on with me, mate. The last couple of times I've needed to go to London, I've had to pay full fare. So does my mother. So does,
stop.
Yeah,
well,
no,
the dog's just getting the blame for Debbie nearly yanking the cable up the dinner.
It wasn't me.
Hang on.
I do understand why.
I can't hear him.
Right, that should be
fine. Is that better?
Speak. That's right. There you go. Sorry, yeah, there was a bit of a domino effect there because Star was sat on Debbie's lap. Star jumped off Debbie's lap, got caught up with the cable, and yanked it sort of partly out of the computer, which has had an impact.
Shed all over me, bless her.
Yes. The computer didn't fall off the table.
No, not this time. No. I managed to not drop my
iPad. You did
just
say shed all over you, didn't you?
No,
that's not a euphemism for anything.
No, at all, no.
You told me a story last week, Ben, about computers flying towards walls and getting broken.
I thought you were
trying to relate to that very famous incident when my laptop, which Alpha Debbie, broke. Not so accidentally, though.
No. Mine was my own story, and the way my computer was acting on Sunday, it was almost a case of almost choosing another wall to throw it.
I do apologise, because I thought you were sort of in some way being Stephen Moffat and reusing an old 20 megabyte story there and just sort of adapting it for your own means.
No. I really did break my computer by throwing it into a wall, and break the wall as well. Okay. But I managed to mend the wall better than I managed to mend the computer.
Clearly.
You're supposed to use sledgehammers on the wall.
Yeah, I think the wife would have been really pleased if I'd have stuck a sledgehammer through the wall, not just my laptop.
So, is that it then? Have you done on your review?
Yeah.
Okay. Debbie, did your dad send us anything?
No, he didn't.
Oh, dear.
I was hoping he would, because that was just up his street, that one. But no, he
obviously
didn't.
It wasn't quite up his street, if he couldn't even bring himself to speak about it.
I asked him for it, because I made sure he was watching. But
yes.
No.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what that means. It's time
he
for
liked
a bit of...
it.
Yeah, no, probably not. Time for a bit of feedback. So get your Chardonnay. There's a bit of an echo, because you ordered.
I was doing feedback for you.
Well, good evening, 20 Megabyte's Andy Lennon here. Hopefully this will be fairly loud on my desktop. It's 1922, whatever. Sunday evening, got a nice glass of rather sharp muscadet, which must be...
Oh, muscadet, that's nearly right.
Got glass in it.
Really rather good as a pre-dinner snifter. Anyway, Flatline, that's an item. Well, that was pretty damn good, wasn't it? So, you know, you've seen what Facebook think of it. You know, even the Jeff Waddle's giving it the real thumbs up, and well, there you go, recommendation, don't get any higher than that. No, I thought it was an absolute cracker. Yeah. Even the lovely Dawn liked it, you know, first time she's really seen Capaldi, and she really was impressed with him. You know, an older Doctor thinks works does work a lot better, you know, brings a bit more gravitas to it. Once again, we have the thinking, the mental Doctor, is a theme that I've referred to quite a bit. Obviously, he had to be, because he was actually trapped inside the TARDIS, which was definitely a lot bigger on the inside than on the outside. I thought it was really quite funny, though, where the door shrank, and he was like peering through, almost like peering through the letterbox, and he just put his hand out, and that was it. And then at the end of it, going down to a cube. I'm trying to think, if you remember in the War Games, when they had the... on the default settings of TARDISes, they were very much like that, weren't they? So I'm wondering if... the Doctor and Q actually remembered that when they took it back. So, all in all, the story, very creepy, wasn't it? You know, with the, especially that the policewoman died and you saw things on the carpet. That reminds me of the film, and I can't think what it is. Somebody, no doubt, you know, someone like Kirby will probably come and say it straight away what it is, and obviously I'll be in the gym or on the train or something, and you'll say it, and I'll say, of course it will, and everyone stared at me, as they sometimes do at you. But the flatlining him into the wall, you know, you've got the guy's face, the guy who's doing the call, then you've got the policewoman, her nervous system. And then you got the murals. And then when they came to life, and that really made Dawn jump, I thought it was very cleverly done, that was. And then when they're actually moving, there were, you know, 2D features moving in 3D. I thought it was very cleverly done. You had a really, really good effect there. So I think there's been a lot of thought put into that as well. Yeah. And what's good as well, seeing Clara becoming the Doctor, literally, you know, she's taken the lead role. You know, she's a very, very strong character, a very strong actress to carry that forward. And she's able to do that. And the way, for example, when she takes the role and said, you know, why should you be in charge? Because I'm your best chance of getting out of here alive. I mean, that is exactly the sort of thing the Doctor would say, isn't it? You know, you go in, you take command, you don't take any prisoners, you don't treat no nonsense. Just letting people know, this is what you do. And finding it, getting the escape route, things like that. Yeah, I thought that was very well written as well. It's a good characterisation on her part. The supporting cast as well, you know, the young lad, perhaps a bit stereotypical, you know, he's sort of a spray paint artist, what's it called, you know, putting on his own tag or whatever the phrase is. But, no, the way he responded to Clara, I thought was very good. Then, of course, you've got the council workers. I don't want to denigrate council workers. Perhaps, again, they were a bit stereotypical, you know, some of the stickers too short, planks. Train driver, I thought was quite a good one, because the way he said, oh, yeah, I want to ransom, you know, he's really the little boy in him. That did make me chuckle. I wanted to get on that train and ram something with it. And, of course, you've got Riggsy doing it instead, using, and then get away with using Clara's headband. Some good, you know, good bits there as well. On the mule train, the train mule, I thought, was particularly rather good. The way they got out of it with the painting to get the power into the TARDIS, and the Doctor comes out, and the Doctor instantly steps up, and nobody questions him, and Clara, in a way, cedes her authority to him. You know, she does recognise the fact that, yeah, you know, he is still the man, isn't he? You know, she's done well. And so, he was exceptional, I think. He can't bring himself to say she was good, can he? It's not in the Doctor's nature to say something like that. You know, we've got the pudding brains as well. But, yeah, interesting the fact that everybody's really got the hang on getting back, because, you know, he does know something. Oh, that was good. Some lovely little moments, I mean, with the hand coming out the back out of the TARDIS, that was really quite clever, and handing over the sonic screwdriver. They look at the psychic paper. So the psychic paper, does the user actually have any input into what this comes out as? Because when she starts at MI5, then she tried to come Elfin Safety, and yeah, he's too thick to even register a psychic paper. Some good moments there as well. So all in all, I think this is a story, that a very well-paced story. It got you thinking, you know, what is actually going on here? I missed what they call the monster. I couldn't hear that. I haven't had a chance to watch it back again, because I've been busy most of the day. Perhaps I can get up on seeing the subtitles. You know, what do they actually call them? But the way he defended the Earth, again, that's very much like Tennant did that. You know, you've got to face me. And Matt Smith, to an extent, did as well. You know, I'm the defender of the Earth. You know, you've got to, you know, I'm banishing you. You get this Earth, you come past me, you come through me, and that ain't going to happen no time soon, sunshine. Worth that effect. And, of course, we come to the end with Missy popping up. And I made a good choice there. I think it's fairly obvious she is the woman who, in the shop, who gave Clara the Doctor's number. I think we know that now. And no, she is not the Rani. Can we finish this once and for all? The Rani is a character who appeared twice in the 1980s, and that's it. This is not the Rani. As I said, if you turn out to be very old and naked around Twickenham Stoop, which, given the reaction to the picture of me in the Icarus towel, would probably be quite horrific. So there you go. Anyway, be seeing you.
Yes, thank you.
What's your new theory, Kirby?
Kirby has a theory, the theory that it is. Yes?
What was that?
That's an elk. That's a Monty Python reference. Go on.
Not a very good one.
We got it.
Yes, Kirby.
I've noticed, I'm sure you've noticed this. Think about the name of the police constable in this one.
Yes.
What was her name?
Constable Forrest.
Correct. What was the name of the little girl from Paul Hill School?
And Courtney?
Courtney Wood, isn't it?
Yeah, Wood. Yeah.
Woods. What is the name of the next episode?
Don't know.
No, the forest of... Yeah.
In the Forest of the Night?
Yeah. In the Forest of the Night.
I think that she's Lorna Bucket.
Who?
From Good Man Goes to War.
Oh, who? Mm. Who's Lorna Bucket?
That Missy is Lorna Bucket. And remember, Lorna Bucket is from the forest something.
Where they don't have a word for
right.
Stream.
Yeah.
So they use the word river. Okay, thank you, Kirby.
I think it's Clara's mum.
She met the Doctor as a young girl in the Gamma Forest. Yeah. And who knows? Maybe she is Lorna Bucket and Clara's mom.
Because she said, Clara, my Clara.
Yeah, well, this is a Moffat show. Mm. So, yeah, he's probably got some very thin connections going on here that he's going to wow us with at the end.
Well, actually, you make a good point there, Mary. It is a Moffat show. So, therefore, everything would have been forgotten about by next week and completely ruined that story.
How did Clara's mother die?
She fell from a tree as a leaf.
Oh, a leaf!
Am I not
a leaf! There we go! More references to woods and forests.
Yes. Or,
Doctor. Yes.
She could be Cal. Think about the name of the second episode of the library.
Yeah, right. I know what you're talking about.
Yes,
I don't know,
yeah.
Forest of the Dead.
I think she's the Rani.
Well, I think she's a brand new character that has nothing to do with any of that.
Yeah, that would be nice.
A brand new character we've never met before.
That's right.
Yeah, yes. A revelation in two episodes' time, because that's all that's left, kids. That's all that's left.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm going to have to go now, I'm afraid, because I've got to go bed shopping with a friend.
Okay. Oh, okay. A friend,
but before I do go,
I
have to say this to you. The TARDIS shrunk. The sonic screwdriver worked properly. Clara was part of MI5. Things came out the wall. They jumped out the window. And then the train had A118 on it. I've won the quiz!
Yeah,
813.
Yes,
thank
I'll
you, Ben.
Right. Anyway, lovely to talk to you. I'll speak to you next
Take
week.
Care. Ta-ta. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Debbie.
Bye. Bye, Debbie. Right, Jeff Waddle has written this in a very concise bit of feedback. I don't have words to express how brilliant this was.
That's it.
And, that's nothing to do with...
No, that's Lane Stars.
Patrick Bishop has compiled this particular bit of audio.
Hello to everyone at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. This is Patrick from North Hollywood with my feedback for the episode Flatline. Let's see. For me, this episode, Top's Listen, is my favorite of the season so far. I really liked the story, and the villains I thought were scary and inventive. I really liked it. I couldn't hear over the music. The sound mix sometimes in the show is really bad, but I couldn't hear over the music at the end what the Doctor named them. He gave them a name. Maybe you guys have probably already talked about it by now.
Oh, my God.
But I couldn't hear what he was saying at that point.
It sounded like
I liked the whole shrunken TARDIS and going into, you know, safe mode into the little cube. And I liked how the Doctor used his hand and, you know, to quote unquote Adam's family it out of the of the train tracks. I thought that was pretty clever. I'm not sure how many people got that reference. I know Adam's family was broadcast worldwide, but that's a pretty interesting reference to put in an English show. Clara was good at taking the lead and being the Doctor's proxy. I think she learned that it's not so easy making the quote-unquote right decisions when it comes to life and death. So I'm sure she got a little bit perspective of how the Doctor has to deal with things. The special effects for the monsters were great, really clever and really interesting looking when they were in three-dimensional form, when they took the form of the people that they had, you know, flattened. Definitely creepy, really creepy how they were, like, animated. One thing that threw me off about the episode was that ridiculous scene when Clara and the teenage kid were in the house, and Clara, they're about to be, like, consumed by the villains or the bad guys, and Clara takes Danny's call and, like, tries to play it off like everything is fine when they're about to die. I mean, they're just trying to shoehorn the relationship into the episode. It just didn't fit at all, especially when later on, when they're out of danger, she doesn't take his call. I thought it was really weird. You know, Missy at the end saying how she chose well with Clara was equally confusing. I'll be really glad when this Missy arc is resolved. But I have a bad feeling that it will somehow mean the end of Clara as a companion. I kind of hope not, but I mean, you can just see it's kind of heading that way. But all in all, very enjoyable. I'll give this 4.5 out of 5 magics. So I guess that would be 4 magics and 1 star. Anyway, I hope you guys have a great week.
You got mentioned.
Yes, thank you, Patrick. And Magic flapped his ears in agreement there. Guess what?
Teapot.
You lot didn't allow me to say what I thought of it.
Oh.
I think that's very rude. What do you think, Magic? Oh, he's gone.
They've gone. They've scarfed.
Well, I'll tell you what I thought of it. It certainly wasn't the best story of the series, but it's one of the best.
Yeah.
I did enjoy it. There was a couple of things I've already mentioned that weren't quite right about it. But no, because it was actually quite a good story, like Kirby says, it you don't mind it because it was a it was well made, and I wasn't that fussed about the reasonably poor CGI. I didn't really notice it, to be honest with you. I was just enjoying what I was watching. It's not as good as his previous story, but it's still one of the best of this series. I enjoyed the sort of brightness of the story as well. It wasn't a dark. Although the undertones were dark, it was actually quite brightly lit. Yeah.
Well, it made when they went down into the tunnels a lot more effective, mm-hmm. I thought. Because yes. It was quite vibrant with all the colours, obviously, with the 60s house and everything.
Yes.
To suddenly go into the dark was very effective.
And what I mainly got from it was that it reminded me a little bit of Fear Her, but done a little bit better.
Correctly.
A little bit better.
Correctly.
All right, correctly. Well, some people like Fear Her, Kirby.
Actually, I like Fear Her.
Did you?
Mm. Oh my. Mm.
Okay.
I don't understand that.
I think that you should have lit the Olympics after that.
Yeah, that would have been good.
It's not one of the best ones. No, nope.
It's not disastrously bad,
but it's not horrible.
A bit cheesy, isn't it?
It got a bit. Sort of everybody's yeah. British hooray yeah. thing going on. Yeah,
you know, I so wanted David Tennant to run that tour.
Yes, no, that's what I was just saying. Yeah, good. No, that, yeah. that would have been brilliant.
It would have been appropriate. Yes. To, anyway, mm-hmm. But one last bit of feedback.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. Flatline by Jamie Matheson. The walls have ears. And arms and legs. Good story. To UK viewers, Flatline might sound like an online estate agent. This story is set in Bristol because Britain's celebrity graffiti artist is from Bristol.
No, really?
Clara acts like the Doctor. Like Amy in Dinosaurs on a Spaceship. Mm. There is a theme this year of Am I a Good Man? After witnessing Clara in the Doctor's role, he says, goodness had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
When Donna became the Doctor Donna, she had to leave. Clara's time might be coming, although yeah. I don't know anything.
Well, not according to Christmas.
In the Doctor Who extra, the writer wondered why no one had done this sort of thing before. I expect lots of fans were shouting, Planet of Giants, Megalopolis. Anyone who has a spare Pandorica model can paint it silver. And claim it is a TARDIS in siege mode.
Yeah.
In the middle of a crisis, the Doctor takes a few seconds to write two discs on the device and to draw Clara's attention to it. Another script from Jamie Matheson. Another train. Some people on internet forums are wondering what 2M65 means.
No.
It's head code on one of the trains. It means the 1821 Swansea to Shrewsbury. I imagine sometime this train might have people in long scarves, paying tribute to Doctor Who. Long scarves are available from the Marzi.co.uk. Bye for now.
Yeah, thank you, Ian. That seemed to be last train to Clarkshill down one of the channels because it didn't have any drums or any percussion on it.
No. Right?
Yes.
How appropriate, because did you know that there's going to be a new Doctor Who convention in Clarkshill up in the Bay?
No, I didn't, but...
Called Con GT?
Grief.
Ian brings up a point. I wonder, did the props department have to build that little Pandorica-looking box, or did they just kind of break it out of the bubble wrap from a store?
By the way, speaking of ConGT, I'm in charge of programming.
Oh, yeah.
That convention.
Oh, good. So are you in charge of funds to get people over from the UK to the...
No.
Oh, that's a shame.
No, but I'll be putting together, like...
Some funds to get some people over from the UK.
The panels and the timing of things.
Oh, good. Well,
magic.
Good. That's good. Isn't it magic? Oh, get off my toe!
Magic.
Right. It's now time...
We ought to have... I'm going to suggest to Eddie that we use Last Train to Clarkshill.
Magic, there's food in the other room. No. Magic is actually... Debbie is more interesting... To magic than food, and food is his normal number one thing. Tap the dish, Deb.
Magic. He's all right.
No,
he's
going to be bath. That's why he's hanging out.
Oh, his birthday, is it? Oh.
That's why. He's hiding. He's hiding. So you just hardly get the bath.
Please save me from my...
He's not stupid. Look, see, look.
I can't push him any further.
Come on.
I've got all the big packs on.
Say, look.
There we go.
We should take video of that.
Magic's... Yes, least favourite day of the week. Yes, it's a bath day. Right, it's now time for this week's ones. Edition of it's You Won't Get This. Oh, the stars get on as well. You just go hide in the corner. I was watching something like that.
No, I didn't want to.
So, this week, we are obviously doing Flatline, and it's going to be Mary with the first question. These are very easy.
Ooh, all right.
I'm
good.
Sorry, but they are. So I'll just pause the cursor over the correct tune. For Mary, what was the first spoken word of the story?
Oh, jeez.
No, wasn't that?
No, I don't remember.
Listen.
First. Wow.
The answer was police.
Why didn't you let me answer?
You had a chance.
No, you didn't ask for us. You said anyone else no, normally.
No, because Debbie had already come up with it a go, and you only get one person no. generally.
No. Everybody can have a go last time.
But I didn't even have a chance. I was going to say police, but no.
Give him a point.
No. No. Right, Kirby, your question. How did the doctor assess the readings on the TARDIS scanner?
They were ish.
I'll give you that.
Ishy.
Debbie.
Yes.
How many miles were they from where they should be?
Oh, it was, I can't remember if it was 150 or 160.
Well, no, it's not a I know. Throw loads of numbers no, at me to see I, if you can get the right one.
I didn't write it down.
Either way, it's... Go on, Kirby.
Well, 120.
Is the correct go. Answer. Yeah. Right. Mary.
Yes.
And I remember that. I don't have it written down.
Thank you, Kirby. Don't get any extra points for that.
Mary. Brilliant, Kirby.
That's it, yeah.
Mary, what would happen...
Am I, but,
Where do you
but,
stop but, interrupting or deduct one of your points?
Careful, we will.
But am I a good man?
Be quiet.
Ah, right. That's the question.
Mary.
Yes.
What would happen if the TARDIS landed with its true weight?
Oh, it would crack the Earth.
I'll give you one point because it's not quite how it was worded in the script.
No, discussed
give
it already.
Oh,
give
go
it
on
two.
And 2 points. The answer was fracture the surface of the Earth. So, essentially, right. Kirby. What did the doctor suggest Clara was a doctor of?
Oh, I know.
I don't remember.
Ooh. Go on then,
I think
Debbie.
I've got it written down, right? Lies.
Correct. Debbie.
Yes.
How did the doctor initially assess Riggsy?
Hello, barely sentient local.
Ooh, is the correct answer. Oh,
that was one of my quotes. That was going to be one of my quotes.
Mary.
That was my first quote. And Adam took it.
Mary.
Yes.
What statement has never been truer?
Oh, that it's bigger on the inside.
That's the correct answer. Kirby. What does Clara pull out of the handbag?
A sledgehammer.
Is the correct answer. Debbie.
Every time I say that, I think of that MTV video that was Peter Gabriel. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, she also pulls the TARDIS out of her handbag. She also pulls the sonic screwdriver out of her handbag.
And the
two. The answer was correct.
There's a lot of things she pulls out of her handbag.
Be quiet, Kirby. I mean, Mary. Right.
The thing I just posted on Facebook couldn't be true of my go.
Oh, it's your go, is it? Yeah. Therefore, it is. What is the name of the policewoman?
PC Forrest.
Is the correct answer. So I told you they were easy. Right, so the scores after those questions so far, in last place with 4 points, is Mary.
And always.
In first place, joint first place, with 5 points each, is Kirby and Debbie. This is Mary's question. What did...
Help them to be quiet.
Deb's getting loads of phone calls all at the same time.
Right.
She's a mobile phone and she just picked up a call off. She's not going to be very happy about that. Well, they're all calling me at the same time.
Mary's
Mary's question, yeah, sorry. What did the doctor think the creatures were trying to understand?
Whoa. Three dimensions?
Is the correct answer.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Kirby.
Okay.
Who did Clara tell Danny that she was trying to help Riggsy find?
Riggsy's sister?
Is the wrong answer.
Was it his aunt?
It was his aunt. Yes, indeed. Right. Debbie.
Yes.
What, according to the doctor, is a vital survival skill?
Lying.
Is the correct answer. Mary.
Yes.
Who did Clara tell the man she was while trying to run away?
Oh, whoa. It's either the doctor or the MI5.
It is not the right answer. Go on then, Debbie.
Was it your only hope to live?
Is the wrong answer. Oh, go on, yeah. Kirby. It's the wrong answer, Kirby. What do you want to have a go at this one? No, the answer is health and safety.
Health and safety.
Oh, that's right.
Well, you had that go originally. It was Mary, wasn't it? So therefore, it's Kirby's question. Kirby, what does the doctor think they'll need to find a better name than?
Huh?
Well, obviously, the aliens had a name. He gave them a name in the end, eventually. But the aliens, before he gave them a name or named them, they had a different name. And he said, we're going to have to find a better name than...
I don't remember.
Wrong. Anybody?
Killer Graffiti.
Is the correct answer.
Yeah. I liked Killer Graffiti. That worked.
Right. Debbie.
Yes.
What number did the alien first call over the PA system?
55.
Is the correct answer. Right. The scores then. Well, not really, very many questions left.
Are In you the... sure?
Yeah, 55, then 22.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay, I thought it was 22, then 55.
No, you got that one wrong. Got that wrong. Just deduct a point.
No, leave his points alone. Leave his points alone. Thank you.
Right, in last place with 5 points, it's Kirby. In second place with 6 points, it's Mary. And in the lead with 11 points, it's Debbie. Right, this is Mary's question. Who was number 22? What was his name?
Oh, was it George?
It was George.
Oh, yay.
Kirby. What did the doctor call his dimension restoring gadget?
Just put correct for
the
this
two
one.
Tudish.
It's correct.
Tudish.
Debbie.
Yes.
What did Clara suggest the doctor move the TARDIS like? Moved it like, sorry, or move it like. You know, I'll say that again. Yeah, I actually said it right the first time. What did Clara suggest the doctor move the TARDIS like?
Was it the hermit crab?
Is wrong. And Mary knows.
No, Adam's
fair. Like the Adam's right, point deducted for, because Mary said, I know, that's going to be that. And point deducted for Kirby for interrupting Mary.
No, will you leave his points alone, please?
I didn't hear him say that.
Leave
him alone.
Inappropriate.
You can
have the point.
Leave him
alone. I'm losing anyway.
Kirby. What number was on the...
Is it my turn already?
Yes, it is your turn. Yes, that was Mary's turn. Was it Mary's turn?
No, that was Debbie's turn.
Debbie's turn. Oh, sorry. No. Mary.
Yes.
What number was on the front of the train? Now, I forgot there were two trains. So.
Oh, yeah. So.
Yeah, which one? Yeah.
Well, there's that M113.
Yes, and the other one?
And then the something M65.
I'm going to give you a point for that.
Cause that's a 2M65.
Yeah, there you go. I'll give you all the points for that because that's correct.
And the first one was incorrect.
A113.
Yeah. That's not the one I was looking for.
He was looking for the 2M65.
Yes, thank you very much. Kirby. What mode did the doctor set the TARDIS to?
Siege.
Correct. These are really difficult, aren't they? Debbie.
Yes.
What did Clara use to stop Riggsy from becoming a martyr?
Her black hairband.
Is correct. Right, so I think we've virtually run out of questions. So these are free-for-alls. And the scores, with 2 free-for-all questions left, in last place with 9 points, it's Kirby. In second place with 11 points, is Mary. And then the lead with 13 points, it's Debbie. So here we go. Free-for-all.
Jamie
Matheson.
Point deducted. Right, the first question is, what did the doctor name the monsters as?
Boneless.
Oh. I don't know who may have got that one, actually.
Right.
All three of us hit it at the same time.
So I'm not going to give any points for that because you all got it at the same time. Right. Last question. What be quiet. What excuse Excuse? What excuse did Clara send to Danny at the end of the story?
In a meeting.
There we go. The final scores. In last place with 9 points, it's Kirby. Second place with 11 points, it's Mary. And the winner this week, Smarty Pants Debbie, with 15.
Woo! Congrats.
And Star's climbing up us now because Star thinks that if she does that, shut up for the wrong part of the theme tune. If she does that,
she won't have a bath.
But... That was slick.
Star.
So, right, I think it's time we had a bit of news. No? Okay, well, I'm going to do it anyway.
That's
Star's Star. Like, I don't want a bath! Help!
Help me, Debbie, take me away!
Right, so Linda Bellingham has passed away, everybody.
Yeah, sagacity is dead.
Yes. And it was very sad, especially because she wanted to have one last Christmas with her family. Yeah.
There's been calls for the Oxide Vets to come back for Christmas because in tribute for her.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
That'd be cool.
Who did, vibrated everything with a massive ear flap?
I know, darling. No, you're going for a
bath. Yeah, very sad news, especially as she was only 66.
Yeah,
and a much loved British icon as well.
Yes. Hmm. Yeah.
And if you see some of the pictures of her as a young woman that have been posted on there, how stunningly gorgeous she was too. Yes, and much love.
What if, Master?
Yes.
What if Missy turns out to be the Inquisitor?
Yes! There is talk about that, isn't there? No, darling, so. Please stop scritching me. You
scritching.
Are going to have a bath.
Right, I haven't watched the Doctor Who Extra. I really would like to. Kill the Moon
you
in Chart Places.
You need to do that.
I do, I know.
I normally post them.
All right, well, I just have the time. I'm a bit busy.
I typically post it between the time that you guys see the episode and the time we can see the episode.
Okay.
And I usually watch the extra first.
Thank you. Right. Anyway, what date were you on? That's within last week, isn't it? Michael Hayes has passed away. He was a director. He died at the age of 85. Helmed three stories in the 1970s, Androids of Tara, Armageddon Factor, and City of Death. Mm. So some pretty good stories there. There's a Doctor Who magazine cover that features Cybermen.
Yeah, they're coming. Magic.
Missy, in the series finale.
Yeah, and I'll probably be able to buy that one in about 2 months.
Is he meant to come out?
Oh, for God's sake. No, he's not.
Magic,
I'm
go.
We appear to be a bit of an unsafe haven for dogs. Yeah, Deb's hit the Pearson hotline at the moment.
I wish we've got to record this one, Dave.
So the dog just ran. Magic just ran into the room to try and get away from from his bath.
Wet
followed
through.
Followed by Deb on the phone and grabbing him to get him back.
And Star is hiding.
Yes?
You may have noticed that I just bought... Doctor Who Magazine 477.
Oh, is that the, with your grumpy face? You don't seem particularly impressed with it.
That's what, two issues
two
back?
Two behind, yeah.
Oh, well.
Oh, crikey.
And they just got it at Barnes & Noble. So by the way, Mary?
She's fallen asleep.
Mary?
No, I'm sorry, I had my microphone turned off.
I didn't know why you couldn't hear me. Mary!
Go in Barnes & Noble, your local Barnes & Noble, go back towards the magazines. The Doctor Who table's probably there.
Right.
The magazines at the Barnes & Noble I go to, which is a huge Barnes & Noble, they have it right up at the front, the magazine section. And when they do have Doctor Who merchandise, it's this little tiny rack or a little tiny, you know, twirly thing that sits right next to the magazines. And it's like, oh, my God.
I'm surprised that they don't have a big table like the one that...
Yeah,
well,
they do not.
May I suggest something? Order them from whowon.co.uk. You will get them quicker.
Mm-hmm. Is that whowon.co.uk?
Yeah, yes. whowon.co.uk.
In the United States of
America, could that possibly be who...
Quicker.
Failed miserably on that one.
Anyway, yes, Forest of the Dead, transmission details, 8:20 p.m. on BBC One. So maintaining this time slot, which seems to have been quite successful.
It's working, but it's also like, because you were trying to get ready to, you know, people turn up and it's like, could you not wait till after Doctor Who? Much as I love you. No.
Yeah. Kill the Moon chart placing. It's the 20th most watched programme for the week on British television. British Bake Off obviously took first place with 10.6 million.
It was the final, wasn't it?
And Boughton Snorer. Sorry, but Downton Abbey had 10.15 million bored viewers on ITV.
Oh, yeah, we won't get Downton Abbey here until January.
And a Cilla Black programme, which I haven't
seen. It takes longer to get that than it takes to get Doctor Who magazine.
And now to be able to hear, the Royal Television Society in London is holding an event exploring why Doctor Who has become such a global success. Doctor Who, Anatomy of a Hit, will take place on Tuesday, 11th of November, and tickets are available from RTS website.
Okay.
Are you going to get them?
Are you going?
I don't know. I'm off that day, though.
Yeah, well, I'm off next week. It's fantastic. No work. Hurrah. Apart from filming away on Saturday. Doctor Who Extra Flatline on the red button. And that's is it still on? 7:25 to midnight. Oh, that's good, isn't it?
It's on now.
So I have to try and remember to watch it while having my lunch.
It's on YouTube.
Thank you, Kirby. Now, there's a lovely poster for Flatline.
That's brilliant. I posted that on a few pages.
What else we've got? Overnight figures. Oh, dear. 4.55 million viewers.
Yeah, they're saying it's about the same level as...
X Factor?
No,
X Factor had 7.1. God knows why. It's rubbish. Yeah. Mummy on the Orient Express final rating, 7.11. That's much, much better. Canadian market vendor raffling of life-sized TARDIS.
Quick, buy tickets.
I want one. Don't know where I'll stick it, though. An audience appreciation index of 85 for Flatline. Again, I'm not quite sure whether that's good or not.
Well, it was about that for last week, wasn't it?
No, yeah. I'll say it is. Oh, it's a little cartoon thing. Cartoon thing of the Doctor and Strax and the Dalek and the Cybermen. But I can't play
it's
it.
It's a new game.
It's not working.
Children's game. Yeah.
Oh, it's a game.
Yeah.
Okay. And as per usual, a Forest of the Night
pictures
have been released and they're on.
Oh, that's interesting.
Doctor Who News. Why is it interesting?
One of the stills shows that tiger is a stuffed tiger in a museum.
Oh, okay.
Well, maybe I wonder, they're in the museum and then they see one out in the zoo, basically.
Or it becomes alive somehow, possibly.
I bet you
that's the same museum that the Pandorica was in.
More than likely.
Yeah, probably.
And that the Mona Lisa was in.
Yes.
In Sarah Jane.
Yes. So now it's time to welcome new members and work out how to speak properly.
Do you want to know why we have so many new members?
Yes, please.
It's Can I finish the sentence?
Is it all down to you, Kirby?
Well, not me, but Eddie and Kanji T.
Fair enough.
Well, can I just say, I'll try and finish the sentence. Now it's time to welcome new members to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join. And I seem to remember ending with Jessica Fielding last week, so we're going to begin this week with some people that I can actually pronounce the names of. Well, almost. Brianna Crawford Reed, Rebecca, Rasamordi. I added him after, because obviously when you get people that don't look like they're Doctor Who fans and they try to join the group and you sort of, I actually ask them if they're a Doctor Who fan. They don't answer me within a specified period of time, then I will ignore them. But this chap actually answered me. It said more or less, I don't speak English, I am Kurdish. Oh, okay. And I sort of paraphrased, do you like Doctor Who? Yes. So that's why he's in. And Amanda Blount from Nashville, Tennessee. But she's got a nice accent. And yes, and finally, Kurt Kanzler. So thank you all for joining the group. Obviously, one of the main specifications for joining the group is listening to the show. Trouble is, we can't vet people for that, can't we? No.
We will probably get quite a number of listeners now that we've been mentioned on the Kanji T Facebook group.
Cool.
Thank you. I didn't know there was one.
I'll have to join that
because I always publish on the Conquer Strover site the release of each episode of this podcast.
What's for Con GT?
Yeah, so therefore we now have 402 members on the 20 megabyte Doctor.
Wow.
And if we had a quarter of them listening to the show, then obviously that's pretty good.
So Con GT.
Oh, Deb's looking it up now on the iPad.
That stands for Gallifrey Time.
And does it have a star logo?
Well, that's gone very quiet, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, while he answers that question, I'm now...
Found it. There we go.
You're in GT.
Joining. I've sent a request.
Have you?
Yes.
Okay. So, I was just looking down the postings on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join. Mm-hmm. Not a lot there, apart from you posting a picture of Pay Attention, Little Monkeys and Apes, There Are 14 Doctors.
Yeah, but they missed out Peter Cushing.
Well, that's not canon, Doctor. Sorry. Mm. Two attendance is correct. Yeah, what else have we got? Not a lot. There it is. No? Okay, fine. Apart from a grumpy-looking Kirby.
Third Doctor is Danger Mouse.
Yeah, I love the Third Doctor is Danger Mouse. Have you watched that?
Yes.
It's hilarious.
And I do like Kirby's pictures from Barnes & Noble, of the Doctor Who section. Are you really allowed to take pictures?
Looking positively giddy.
You've done it anyway.
Why would you not be allowed to take pictures?
Oh, I don't know. I think some stores are very touchy about people taking photos in them, aren't they, Debbie?
Have you been finished, Magic?
Magic's clean. This is one day of the week when it doesn't smell too bad. Star is now sat on my foot.
Come
and
on.
It's going to be very difficult actually prizing her towards the doom
oh,
of her
there
bath.
She goes. There you are.
She's not very happy there.
There is so much on those tables that I want that I cannot afford.
Yes. By the way, Vazi, that's Meninda, he sent me a message during the week in regards to a discount on the Dalek scarf, which was only available on Sunday from 7 p.m. to midnight. So I hope somebody took advantage of that discount.
I didn't have any,
and that was posted, as he asked me to, on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which
if
you
he
can
wants
enjoy.
To send one to the U.S., I'll wear it every day.
Okay, well, he had a chance of buying it for 25% cheaper on Sunday.
Yeah,
hopefully he'll send some more of those through to me, some sort of offers like that. Now we're coming up to Christmas, and mind you, nobody's asked me what I want for Christmas yet, and I wouldn't mind one of those.
What do
you want for Christmas? I wouldn't mind one of those Seventh Doctor pullovers that I
Yes, yeah.
Or a Series 18 scarf to match the one I've got hiding underneath all that pile of stuff there. Look, you can just see my little scarf, sorry, long scarf.
Yes, I can see that
poking
one there.
Out from underneath
there.
Those sort of things that I wouldn't mind having for Christmas, but apparently my mother-in-law said I'm not allowed to have any photographic equipment for Christmas.
Aww.
So that's probably the next best thing.
Oh. Well, why?
Cause why?
Yeah, why are you not allowed?
Because it's very expensive.
Oh.
Fair enough.
But aren't you making money with photography?
Yes. And I do like photography when I'm not doing it professionally. It is quite good fun.
Oh, well, you're very good.
Somebody wants to join the APV services group. Oh, no, God, no, they don't.
Yes. Do we need
to
mention anybody
anyone
else?
Notice the beginning of every... 243 episodes of the 20 Megabyte podcast. It's APV Services.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's the first time that my Facebook group APV Services has ever had a mention on its in its own right. But someone's just attempted to join it.
It wasn't me.
Yeah. Somebody called Mira Rogers. I wonder if she's a genuine person or oh no, so just one of those changed her profile picture nonsense. So I'll get that account removed from Facebook. Trouble is, doing this removing accounts from Facebook does take a bit of time, doesn't it? You have to go through the blocking procedure, which is a pain. Somebody called Caleb Stewart as well. I can't actually get into that. Huh. How am I supposed to block them? Maybe they've already been blocked by someone else.
Fair probably. Enough.
So well, that's it. You can join the APV services group as well as the 198 members of that group. Were you in that one, Debbie?
I think so.
Better be.
There you go.
Oh, you are. Are you in the APV services group, Kirby?
No.
Oh dear.
Oh,
you are now.
Neither am I.
Oh, really?
I didn't know there was a
Facebook
page for that.
You are now.
I just got added.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
Mary became the 200th member of the ABB Services. Adam's Professional Video Services group. So congratulations on that. Right then. So that's essentially sort of just padding out a little bit because we come to the end of the show. So next week we've got the penultimate episode of the series.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that I'll actually be able to watch the finale when it goes out because I haven't got a wedding job that day. What do you say?
Don't know. It's the antepenultimate.
Oh, so it's a third to last.
Yes.
Okay, right. Good, because I'm glad we've got three episodes left.
So. And that's, by the way, for those who do pay attention to Flanders' Swan, that they reference to a Flanders' Swan song.
I didn't get any of that. Did you get any of that, Mary?
I didn't understand.
No, I didn't understand a word of that either. But I'm sure it was very interesting, Kirby.
I said who do like the British
don't have
comedy
to say it really slowly. Still can't understand. Yeah, do like the British comedy, yeah. Ooh, that's the wrong one. Yeah.
Flanders and Swan.
Yeah.
That was a reference to Flanders and Swan.
Okay.
Have some Madeira, my dear.
Okay, hang on.
Which I'm sure Andy Nunny would.
Yeah, yeah. So Debbie wants me to play a particular sound effect, so you might want to hear this. You feel better for that, Kirby?
To emerge from the bathroom.
Got a very slow system then.
That is a very slow one. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Someone must have logged on to another computer in the house.
It's still going.
Yeah, I think you need to get that fixed, mate.
That system needs a fix.
It's a slow toilet.
Yeah, it is.
Goodness me.
There we go. So, yes. I was trying to win the show, wasn't I? Yes, yeah,
so. Sorry.
So, yes, right, that's all right. Next week, as per usual, apparently we're going to be recording on Sunday. God knows how I'm going to actually get to watch and do a quiz thingy.
I could do the quiz if you like.
I suppose I haven't done any of this series of them. Yeah, go on then.
I'll do the quiz.
Yeah, do the quiz, okay. And I'll take part this week.
Do quiz.
How did we get so lucky to do it on a Sunday?
Because I'm working Monday and Tuesday.
That's right.
What time? On Sunday?
Well, it's normally 8 p.m. UK time. Trouble is, you won't be around here, will you?
But if your time changes, that makes it what for us?
What'd she say?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. The clock go back on Saturday, Sunday morning, so they go back here.
So it would be, what would be 7 o'clock our time, wouldn't it? But we'd be 8 o'clock.
So then that would be, what, 2 in the afternoon for us?
2 in the afternoon, yeah.
Okay.
Is that right?
I think so.
It's confusing, isn't
we'll
it?
We'll have a look over the course of the week.
So what would have been 8 o'clock here will become 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
So, therefore, you do it an hour later than you normally do.
No, we do it an hour earlier.
That's later, isn't it?
An hour earlier.
Because we've gained an hour, not lost an hour. Yeah, an hour earlier. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
So 2 in the afternoon for us.
If you say
yes,
so.
Yes, okay. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So, anyway, thanks for that. Thanks for listening to the show. See you again next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye, Chancy Chan.
Bye.
It's very unusual to do a live podcast with Ben on the show and not have to edit anything out. Oh, it stopped.
Go on, Debbie, finish it out.
Oh, dear, well, never mind.
The 20 right, megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production.
Yeah, and I need to go
too.
Okay,
of Doctor
take care.
Who.
All right.
Bye.
No copyright infringement intended.
Sorry, Isabella, for them talking over your bit.
Do it again.